Grace to you and peace from the one who was and who is to come. Amen. It is only in Acts that we see the 40-day timeline between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension into heaven. In Luke, today's gospel, and most of the other New Testament writings, Jesus is assumed to have ascended to God at the time of his resurrection. The appearance of Jesus after the resurrection is assumed to be the Jesus who was exalted at his resurrection. Remember how he came and went so many times. Today's account in Acts is the culmination of the series of post-resurrection appearances of the risen and exalted Christ. There is no semi-earthbound state of Jesus after the resurrection, not even here in Acts. Jesus does not hang out on earth for some 40 days before he finally is translated into heaven. There are also a whole bunch of Jewish examples of folks who escape death and go straight to be with God. Jesus' ascension seems to be something like these. It is part of the fulfillment of Scripture that Jesus was talking about. There was Enoch who walked with God and simply was not. And then there was Elijah who was taken away in a great whirlwind while Elisha watched on. Plus, there were others, too. Moses, Ezra, Baruch, Phinehas, and, of course, the mysterious Melchizedek. All these pious Jewish folks seem to be taken straight to God's presence. These ascensions of God's righteous ones are reminders to us that God is never far from us and has promised an eschatological return. When all the evils of the world will come to an end and the royal rule of God will come to establish God's reign of justice and mercy and love. So it is that Jesus' ascension is in this same line of hope and mercy. Jesus goes to God, we assume to God's right hand, not to conclude God's work, but rather so that the work of God's forgiveness and rule and mercy may be made plain for all the world to see and know. In fact, that is what Jesus commissions his disciples to do as well. We are familiar with the Great Commission in Matthew 28, where we are sent into all the world to preach, teach, and baptize. But here in Luke, we have a similar commission which adds a dimension, another layer, if you will, of what the disciples are to be doing in the world. Here in Luke, Jesus commands the disciples not to teach and baptize, but to witness. Doesn't mean we're not supposed to be teaching and baptize, but in Luke, the more important thing is to witness, to tell others about Christ's message of repentance and forgiveness. Now, they don't have to do all this work on their own. In fact, Christ, the exalted Christ, will be with them to do the work they need to do with the powerful Holy Spirit. So they remain in Jerusalem to be clothed with the power from on high. Jesus is not just sitting around with God, but is active and at work in the world today through the Spirit. So it is for us. The commission Jesus gives these disciples is our same commission. We are to be witnesses for Christ. We are to do the things that Jesus has done, to repent when we are in the wrong and to forgive as we ourselves have been forgiven in Christ. We are to be involved in the world around us as though Christ were here interacting with the world in person. Martin Luther told us that we are to be little Christs to those around us. It is not enough just to come and sit in a pew on Sunday. You are to be Christ to the world around you, and that is a powerful commission because people must see Christ in you. You may be young, inexperienced, but Jesus wants you to use the power given you by the Holy Spirit to show your friends and playmates how much Jesus loves them and wants the best in the world for them. You may be old and tired. Well, Jesus wants you to put forth the effort to show how repentance and forgiveness works in one's life so that your neighbors can experience that in their lives too. You may be a parent with kids to raise. You too have a role to play in the world around you, in your job and in your family. How will you show others what acceptance and love from Jesus means to you and to them? What if your kids are already raised? How will you show your friends and neighbors the good things you have received from God? Won't you want to share? Won't you want to help others, especially those who haven't had it as good? Won't you want to show Christ's acceptance and forgiveness to them? What it really means to be Christ-like? And if you're retired, you've likely got a whole lifetime of skills and abilities that can be used for the sake of the good news of God's acceptance and welcome. This coming Friday is the great move out here in Corvallis. And here at Grace, we are quietly participating, partnering with the university, if you will, to help the kids with their sofas and stuff. You'll see a big container out in our parking lot and this week, and it will be filled as on Friday. A receptacle for 1 or 2 or 4 years of apartment living. Others will come and use those things the students bring and no longer need. It will be a jubilee, a great jubilee, a forgiveness, a happy exchange, a sweet swap, if you will. And I think it will be a sign of forgiveness and mercy in our city as well. Now, some of you have been asked to help out for a couple hours. You too are part of the bargain, a bargain of joy to show that we are part of the larger community of care here in Corvallis. God's people who help others, using the hands of feet of Christ that we have been given so that Jesus may be still at work in the world for the sake of mercy and love. Amen. The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. Amen.